Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with your health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
Well, good evening. This is Earl Cobb.
And this is Charlotte Grant Cobb.
Throughout the month of August, Life Changing Talk Radio has teamed with the Western Writers of America, Inc., or the WWA, to produce and broadcast four very special episodes of this show. Now, each episode will include interviews with members of the WWA and will address several interesting and enlightening aspects of contemporary Western literature. The overall theme for this year's series is Western Writers Live On. Our theme for tonight's show is The Traditional Western, Still a Good Read.
The traditional Western is a genre of various arts, such as comics, fiction, film, games, radio, and television. Westerns are devoted to telling stories set primarily in the latter half of the 19th century in the American Old West, hence the name. Many feature American Indians, bandits, cowboys, lawmen, outlaws, and soldiers, as well as spectacular mountain scenery. Some are set in the American colonial era. There are also a number of films about Western-type characters in contemporary settings. Western writers specialize in all types of Western historical nonfiction, fiction, and tales of the American frontier. Many consider the golden age of the historic West to have occurred for only three decades, from the end of the Civil War to the beginning of the 20th century. Western fiction peaked during the 1960s and is still alive and well. Why are traditional Westerns still a very good read?
And we are delighted to have with us tonight three members of the Western Writers of America. We have Candy Moulton, award-winning author and the current executive director of Western Writers of America. We have Monty McCord, award-winning author as well as president of the Adams County Historical Society and a member of the Nebraska Writers Guild. And Phil Mills Jr., the award-winning author and the owner of a collection of over 3,000 hardback Western books. And we got to find out about the genesis of that, Phil. Welcome, Candy, Monty, and Phil, to Living a Richer Life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You betcha. And we will begin our interview and discussion with Candy Moulton, Monty McCord, and Phil Mills Jr. right after this message.
You're listening to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio. We will open the phone lines at 25 minutes after the hour. Our toll-free number is 855-345-4714. You can also join the discussion via the blog page and on our chat room at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Now back to tonight's show.
Well, welcome back. Our theme tonight is the traditional Western, still a good read. And our interview guests are Candy Moulton, award-winning author and current executive director of Western Writers, Monty McCord, award-winning author as well as president of the Adams County Historical Society and a member of the Nebraska Writers Guild, and Phil Mills Jr., the award-winning author and owner of more than 3,000 hardback Western books. You know, to be honest, I don't know where to start tonight. We're just so delighted to participate in another collaboration with the Western Writers of America and having all of you here tonight. I know Charlotte and I had mentioned to Candy earlier in the year when we were at the Tucson Festival of Books that we had already made our plan to go down to Lubbock at the WWA convention this year, and so have it for the second year in a row. something came up in the business and we couldn't get away, but I hear we had a great time down in Lubbock, Candy.
We absolutely did. It was the largest convention we've ever had for Western writers, and part of that was the draw of Texas, I think, and we also had a really good program. So it was a lot of fun and a great opportunity. We missed
that's
you.
Terrific. And next year you're in where, Wyoming?
We'll be in Cheyenne, Wyoming next June.
Cheyenne, Wyoming. Okay, Charlotte, we gotta get that on the calendar. Now, let's start tonight's show, as we traditionally do, by having each of you share a little bit about yourself with our listening audience. You know, where did you grow up, and how did you arrive at your current place in life? Candy, why don't you go first?
I'll be glad to, Earl. I'm Candy Moulton, and I live and write in Wyoming, where I grew up on a ranch, a cattle ranch, outside of a really small town, about 400 people. I still live in cattle ranch country. My husband runs a ranch, so we're still involved in that whole ranching lifestyle on a day-to-day basis. I write a variety of things, mainly nonfiction, and I write for magazines. I wrote for newspapers for many, many years. I do Western history books, and I also am involved now in doing a lot of media production for films, for visitor centers and interpretive centers, and my subject matter for those things are as diverse as the story of Fort Griffin, Texas, to I'm working on a project right now about a contemporary story in the West, the Minuteman Missile Program.
Wow. That's terrific. Monty, where did you grow up, and how did you arrive at your current place in life?
Well, I grew up right here in central Nebraska. Haven't gone far. Early on, I guess I had an interest in law enforcement, but I also kind of had an interest in writing, so I got into law enforcement in the 70s and am now retired, but during that time, I've published a few books, and I guess nonfiction was where I started with, and 2013, I turn to the dark side, and did my first Western, first traditional Western novel, Mundy's Law, but I've also done after that a book on the 1931 Hastings bank robbery, which is the gangster era. Basically, what I write is from the frontier, lawmen and outlaws from the frontier to about the mid 20th century is what I concentrate on.
Right. Terrific. And Phil, where do you grow up, and how did you arrive at your current place in life?
Okay, well, I currently live in Georgia, but I grew up in central Missouri, and my mother was an avid reader of Zane Grey, and my father was born in Montana. So in high school, we would go out there and visit relatives and the like, and the first time I saw the Rocky Mountains, it was, I don't know, like a religious experience, if you will. I fell in love with the West, and I've been involved and inspired ever since. But I started writing, I suppose, like most people that are really interested in writing, when I was a kid in school, and evolved from there. I spent, after I graduated from college, I spent 16 years in various areas of print journalism. I was a newspaper editor, Small Town Daily, and I was a magazine editor. But my interest in the West never went away. So after raising a family and paying the bills over the years, about 10, 15 years ago, I started with the goal of writing my first book of fiction, and I did, and it turned out to be successful, and the rest is history, as they say. I've been involved ever since, so that's kind of my background. But living in Georgia makes me a little extra diligent on making my facts right, because I don't live in Wyoming, Nebraska, the other two.
what part of Georgia are you in? You're in north or south? Or
I live north of Atlanta. I live on Lake Lanier. Kind of the edge of the North Georgia Mountains. I can see the mountains in the distance.
I know exactly where it is. Charlotte and I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for about 8 or 9 years when my parents were still alive, and they lived down in Middle Georgia. So we used to take I-85 into Atlanta and go right by Lake Lanier every time we made that trip.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I live in Gainesville, Georgia. So.
Okay. Terrific. Well, as we mentioned earlier, our overall theme for this year's series is Western Writers Live On. And the theme for tonight's show is the traditional Western, still a good read. Let's start our discussion tonight, though, since this is the first of four episodes that we're going to have with the Western Writers of America, discussing various aspects of the Westerns. Let's have Candy Moulton, who is the current executive director, as well, of course, as an award-winning author as well, spend a few minutes and share with our listening audience and for this program a little about the Western Writers of America, its activities, and what our listeners can expect to hear about the from the WWA members who will be airing on the show all of this month. Candy, would you please?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Earl. I want to thank you for allowing us to be on here for the next month in talking with your viewers, or listeners. We really appreciate this opportunity, and we love sharing the stories of the American West, which is what Western Writers is all about. We write about the West in all of its forms, and that ranges from what we're speaking about tonight, which is traditional novels, to poetry, songwriting, screenplays and scripts, plays, all types of things, history and fiction. We write for adults and we write for children. So anything about the American West is what we're all about. Our organization has 700 members located throughout the United States and in several foreign countries, so we're an international organization. We have an annual convention, which we mentioned. This year was in Lubbock, Texas. Next year will be in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that's open to not only our members, but anyone interested in the literature of the West is invited to come. And we do a number of sessions at our conventions, panels that are about the craft of writing Western, as well as the history of the West. So we touch on a lot of different topics. We do book promotions throughout the year at a number of festivals, such as the Tucson Book Festival, where we met you guys a few years ago. We go to several other shows during the course of the year. And we have a couple of opportunities for your listening audience out there to know more about us. And that would be the first thing, go and visit our website at westernwriters.org, where we have a book catalog, an online catalog of new books that are written by our members. So you can see lots of different opportunities for whatever topics you might be interested in. And then we also have a mobile app called Wild About the West, and it is a travel-developed app that ties literature of the West to the West and the places in the West. And so if you have a book that Monty wrote about Hastings, Nebraska, you can look on the app, and if you happen to be in Hastings and you don't know Monty and you don't know about his book, it will pop up and you can learn about it. So it's a new thing called Wild About the West. You can find a link to it on our website, and we're very excited about it because it takes literature to that new audience, those particularly younger folks that are out there with their phones and their apps, and so we're very excited about that. Over the course of the series that we're going to be doing here over the next 4 weeks, we're obviously talking about the traditional West tonight, but our next sessions are going to really show the range of what we write and what we do as members. And so we will be talking about new Westerns and Western mystery, Western film. That'll be next week. Then we have a piece or a segment we're going to be doing about the Western trails, the Overland Migration, Stagecoach travel on the Butterfield Trail, the Oregon Trail, the California Trail. We'll be doing a session then on Western music and songwriting. And then we're looking at having some speakers as well about Western publishing and what are the opportunities out there. So we think it's an exciting series, and we're really glad that you guys are working with us again this year. It's great for us to take the message to a wider audience.
Well, very good. And as I mentioned earlier, we met down at the Tucson Festival of Books. And full disclosure, Charlotte and I have a small press. We don't focus on Westerns. We really focus on educational self-help. And we have authors more so than writers, a very good group of authors, by the way. But the thing that has impressed me over our relationship with this show and the authors that are participating and looking at this year's roster, you've got, the WWA has not just 600-plus members, but you have you know, the cream of the crop. I mean, as far as people that are involved in the Western and in all the various genres. Now, we've worked with, you know, science fiction. We've worked with various different genres. What makes the Western, before we start talking about the tradition, what makes this genre and this group seem to me, at least, sort of different and special as far as its cohesiveness and what most members get out of being a part of the WWA? Any of you can take that.
Well, I'll just say this, that we believe strongly that the Western is America's really main literature form. It's the most original form about writing about the American West. And when you think back to the organization's founding in the 1950s, it was the peak and the boom, as Charlotte mentioned in her lead-in, to the traditional Western and the Westerns. I mean, at that time, we had pulp fiction and we had traditional Westerns being written. The films and the television shows, it was, you couldn't turn on a television in the late 50s and the early 60s that didn't have a Western on it. And so it's just America's literature form, and I think that's the appeal, and people love the West. You heard Phil talk about when he went to Montana and he first saw the Rocky Mountains. It was a really important moment in his life, and people feel that way, and it doesn't matter whether they're in New York or Boston or Georgia or in Wyoming. They really have a connection to the place that is the West, and I think we as members are really lucky to be able to write about that place.
Very good, very good. You know, as we mentioned earlier, the theme for this night's for tonight's show is the traditional Western, and as Charlotte mentioned in the intro, in various formats, you know, comics, fiction, games. Let's start off with just asking you this question. Maybe Phil, you start off. How do you distinguish traditional Western, which is what we're supposed to focus on tonight, from the Western genre in general? What makes it traditional in your mind?
Well, that's a good question, because I think, and Candy addressed this to a degree, and I think Charlotte did in her opening, that the traditional, as I would define it, is the cowboys, the Indians, the outlaws, the soldiers, etc. And that is the Zane Greys, the Louis L'Amours, and the such over the years. And what we found, or are finding as authors, that we're finding we have a generation that's coming along now that is their potential audience that didn't grow up on those things or those TV shows like Candy mentioned. And as a result, we have a challenge in writing that art form, if you will, because it's obviously a passion to us, because most of the writers that are involved in the association now, I would say, did grow up on some of those things. We have an audience, potential audience out there of young people that don't know the history of the West. And it is such a unique part of this country, and you won't find it anywhere else in the world, I don't think. And we've got to get that message out. And we have little girls, my granddaughter's one of them, that wears cowboy boots and doesn't know what a cowboy is. And so when she is the, you know, so when you want her to read a Western, you've got to make it interesting to her. And as a result, I think as a writer, we have to be cognizant of that fact and then be able to come back and say, all right, maybe we're writing about something that's just more in tune with their interests that is set in the West. And that maybe is changing the whole view of what a Western is not necessarily to traditional cowboys and things, but maybe an audience out there that would identify with something that is set in the West, but something that they know more about.
Yeah, yeah. Monty, how do you distinguish traditional from the overall Western genre? anything different?
You know, I guess growing up during that time of all the great shows, I guess, gives away my age a little bit. But, you know, growing up with those, I think the traditional Westerns, I think in simple terms, it boils down to including a hero. And over time immortal, people need to believe in heroes. And I think that's what traditional, whether it's film or other media's including books, I think that's what delivers is what delivered people is the hero. And you know, we all go through times where we really need to see a hero, whether it's, you know, fiction or not. But it does good for the soul.
Right. Yeah, I know. Living here in Arizona, at least for a long time, at least a third tour here, we were fortunate when Charlotte and I returned a few years ago that all three of our grandkids at that time were young. In fact, the oldest was 5 years old. And we've taken all of them, except the baby, she's seven now, down to Old Tucson. And they love it. I mean, they just can't get enough of it, you know, as far as the actual scents in the West and the corrals and everything they have there. Now, are there significant differences in how you would translate, you know, the book, you know, into other forms of Western literature, say like comics and games, or, you know, things that more of the younger people, like you're talking about your daughter, Monty. I mean, is there some significant differences, or do you just keep the fundamentals and just play with the characters or the scenery?
I guess what I would say on that just quickly is after a movie comes out, and don't get I love movies. But it's, you know, sometimes it's, you kind of wonder which book they were looking at when they wrote the screenplay for a movie. But it's always a win when a Western comes out, really, for us.
I would agree with that. I think if you look how many versions of Wyatt Earp and the gunfight at the OK Corral there's out there, they're all a little different. And look at the Virginian, Owen Wister's classic, The Virginian. There must be five or six versions of that, and they're all a little different. I don't know how many of them are really true to the book.
Well, the TV series, you know, which was a great series, you know, but it, Trampas was the Virginian's enemy. But it wasn't that way on the TV show.
No, and not at all.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, to answer your question, I think when it goes from book to movies or comics or whatever, I'm not sure they're being totally accurate. They're going more for ratings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was truly disappointed a few weeks ago. I'm trying to remember. Charlotte and I was somewhere, and that's where we were traveling, but I turned on the Netflix or one of those, and then there was a Western, right? So I clicked on it to see the Western, right? And I tell you, within 10 minutes, that's about all I could watch, okay? The plot was these Western guys come in, break into this guy's house. He's there with his wife and his kid. They tie him up, beat him up for some reason, rape the wife, you know what I mean? And that was what sort of set the plot. I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, even the version
like
of True Grip.
True Grip
from John Wayne's version versus the one that came out later. There's a big difference in this, the whole language used, et cetera.
Right, exactly. You know, I can't believe that it's almost 25 minutes after the hour already. We're going to take a quick break here. When we return, we will continue our discussion about the traditional Western and learn more about the current and future work that Candy and Monte and Phil have going for themselves, and learn a little bit more about why the traditional Western is still a very good read. We will also open up the phone lines and take comments and questions from our listening audience at that time. Remember, to all of you that are calling, press the number 1 on your keypad if you have a question or a comment, so we'll know that you want to be on the air. And you can also meet us at the blogtalkradio.com/richerlife chat line. Email us at info@richerlifellc.com or send us a tweet at richerlifetalk. We'll be right back after this
Don't forget to join us next Thursday night, August 13th. The theme for next week's show is the new Western and Westerns in film and television, and our two interview guests will be members of the Western Writers of America, Inc., Kirk Ellis, award-winning writer, producer, and the winner of two Emmys, a WGA Award, a Peabody, and the Humanitas Prize. And also joining us will be Ann Hillerman, award-winning author of 8 nonfiction books and WWA Spur Award winner for the best first novel, only here on blogtalkradio.com/richerlife.
Well, welcome back. Our theme for tonight is the traditional Western, still a good read. And our very special interview guests are Candy Moulton, award-winning author and the current executive director of the Western Writers of America, Monty McCord, award-winning author as well as president of the Adams County Historical Society and a member of the Nebraska Writers Guild, and Phil Mills Jr., the award-winning author and owner of a collection of more than 3,000 hardback books. I see, Charlotte, we've got callers. I'm going to let you stage a couple of them. But before we go there, Phil, I've got to ask you about the hardback Western books. I read that in your bio. How did you get there?
You know, that really started with a book I didn't buy. I went into North Carolina, into Cherokee, North Carolina, and in a bookstore up there, and I saw a book on the Trail of Tears and the Cherokees being moved to Oklahoma, and I didn't buy it, and I swore that I would never let that opportunity pass me again, and I haven't. So that's kind of how I got started.
Yeah, that's great. And I assume you've got quite a library. I'm sure it would be
I have quite a library, and I've tried to – Yeah, it's quite. And everybody asks me, "Have you read them all?" And I haven't. So
that's wonderful, Charlotte. Let's see. Let's take a couple of callers, if we will. Here, who do we have there?
Well, Earl, would you help me join Sherry? Sherry's calling from Holly Springs, North Carolina. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
Hi, Sherry. Welcome.
Hi. So I have a question for Monty and any of the other authors that want to answer it, but you were talking about traditional Westerns, and Monty, you mentioned the hero, and I was just wondering if you could tell me what character traits you look for to put to make your hero. You know, what are those character traits?
Well, that's a good, good question, Sherry. Thanks for calling in. You know, it's not a clear-cut thing anymore, it seems like, with heroes. My own Joe Mundy in Mundy's Law is, you would classify him as the hero, but he's not squeaky clean. I guess I look at that as being real, or, you know, being realistic, a realistic type of character. If they're too squeaky clean, it's a little hard to believe, because we're all humans, and we were all humans then. So I think it's kind of a gray area, you know, using the word hero. He's the one that's going to stop the trouble and so on, but he also had a troubled life prior to that. So I guess that's kind of what I would say.
Okay.
I would agree with Monty on that. I think in my case, I like to believe that they're human and that they're not infallible, but they try to do the right thing at the end, and that's what we're looking for in friends and family. We want them to at least try to do the right thing.
Okay, great. All right, well, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Sherry.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay.
Bye.
Charlotte, we have another caller at the moment? Or?
We sure do. Would you help me welcome Andrew, who is calling from Denver?
Hello, Andrew. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Hi, Earl. Thank you. Hi, Candy, Phil, and Monty. I'm enjoying the show. I had a comment on a traditional movie that I grew up watching, The Lone Ranger. A couple of nights ago, it was on cable, and I said, I'm going to stay up and watch it. I think it took me about 2 minutes before I turned away from it. The new modern Long Ranger. What do you think of that movie? Or have you seen it?
I would just, the only thing, with Johnny Depp and I can't think of the name of the Lone Ranger net right offhand. I have to mark that down as in the loose entertainment category.
It's
after we watched the series The Lone Ranger years ago, that was pretty great, of course, growing up with that. But I do have to say, Johnny Depp is one of those actors that I really try to hate, but I can't, because that man can play anything.
Uh-huh.
I would agree. I have not watched it all, because I wasn't able to watch it either.
I couldn't, growing up a Lone Ranger, for 2 minutes, I just could not continue to watch it. I think whoever said it earlier, I like Johnny Depp movies, but I guess because I grew up watching Lone Ranger, this was one that I could not sit and watch at all.
Yeah, I agree.
But,
very good. Very good. It's a good question. Thanks for calling. Where are you calling from tonight, Andrew?
Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm in Denver tonight.
Very good.
Okay. Well, thanks for the
thanks
call.
So
good
much.
Question.
Hey, thank you for your comment.
You betcha. And you know, that sort of leads us into a question that we had gotten earlier this week from an emailer about traditional Westerns, you know, with the title A Good Read, and the question pretty simply said, why do you believe traditional Westerns is still a good read? And maybe Andrew sort of led us into the thought that people have certain expectations, right? And when you hear Western, and if you don't get that, I'm sure, like in Andrew's case, but why do you think it's still a good read? Phil, why do you think traditional Westerns are still a good read after all of these years?
Well, I think Monty's addressed this somewhat about the hero aspect of it, and I tried to touch on it by saying at least the lead character, the lead person or persons that you might have in a story are trying to do the right thing. They're not necessarily wearing a white hat anymore. Maybe it's more of a gray hat, but they're trying to do the right thing. But I think a traditional Western, it brings out the rugged individualism that these people out here exemplify, and they did then, they do now. It's a hard life out here. I've been in Wyoming the last few days, and I think we all look to those people with a certain degree of admiration. So when we talk about them in our books and our stories, we do so with a degree of respect, and we like that in our people and what we read about. There's a clear difference usually between right and wrong, and we like that. This gray area is sometimes hard to come by. So I think, as I said earlier, they stand for what's good and what's right in America, and as a result, the tradition has always been there, and I think we want it, we seek it, and we enjoy reading about it.
Very good. Very good.
Earl, I throw in there one thing. I'm really always amused, very amused, by the reported death of the Western. I mean, I've been hearing this for years, and every time I hear it, I'm very amused, because there is a reading public out there, I think, that's growing again, actually, because many are published every year. But I just wanted to throw that in.
No, that's good. That's good. Matter of fact, it leads into the sort of the last question here before we ask you guys to share a little about what your future looks like as far as people reading your books and your traditional Western work. What about the advent of digital, of ebook format? Does that affect how, from a writing standpoint, how you think about writing a Western, knowing that that people are moving quickly and they want to get things quickly? Does that make them shorter now, or get to the point a lot earlier to keep them reading? Is there any difference, or does the format really matter?
For me, it stays the same. I don't write a book with ebooks in mind, although that's a big area. But as far as the format or the size of the book or whatever, doesn't affect what I want to do at all.
I would agree with Monty on that. It doesn't. I don't even think of e-books when I start writing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, let's do this, Candy, Monty, and Phil. Let's end the show with the discussion around your latest work and how you see it fitting into this realm of traditional Westerns. Candy, let's start with you. I'm sure people will be very interested in saying, okay, let me read Candy's next book or next work. Well, what are you up to, Candy?
Well, I actually don't write fiction. I write nonfiction. I'm working on a narrative history that's Overland Trail related, and I'll get it out maybe this decade. I'm really slow with it. But I want to go back to one question just really briefly. And,
sure.
And I just want to say one thing. When you were talking about the question about how is a traditional Western still a good read, one thing that I see in today's traditional Western that are being written is the characters are in many ways more gritty and more realistic than, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And the other characteristic that you're seeing in Westerns today, traditional Westerns, is the story that the women in the West played. And we have the women today in today's traditional Westerns are more realistic women. Back in the day, it was always Buck, Save, and Betsy and the ranch. And that's not the case today. Today's writers are really letting those women be true and honest partners in the story. And I just wanted to say that because that's one of the really important things I think about today's traditional Western writers. They're expanding and they're not just writing from one perspective.
So,
I would agree.
So,
I just jump in here. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think you're seeing more ethnic groups brought into today's Westerns or today's traditionals too. The role of the Chinese and the role of some of the other groups.
Right, right. Yeah, matter of fact, last year we had a with Chris Entz, and we had a session on women, and we had with a cowboy. Geez, missed it. But anyway,
Cowboy
Mike. Yeah, that's right. Now, why do you why do you think that's the case? I know you. The obvious thing is culture has changed, and it was always there, but it just wasn't talked about because people thought it might not have been a good read because of the times. But it is, you know, for example, Phil and Monty, do you include more women and more realistic roles in any of your work?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I know my book, Where Good Wind Blows, it started out with a man as the main character, and I think Sarah ended up being the main character. So it kind of took on a life of its own, and the woman actually, I think, led the way.
Oh, okay. Terrific. Monty, tell us a little about what you've got going on. What's your latest work and how it fits into this traditional Western tradition?
Well, mine fits in kind of easily since it's a follow-up book to Mundy's Law. Mundy's Law, The Legend of Joe Mundy. The next one, which I have half finished, is the working title is When I Die, The Legend of Joe Mundy. So that fits in pretty easily. It's kind of trailer hitched together there. I originally had in mind a series. How long a series? I don't know yet for sure. I guess Joe hasn't told me. But I've got that going. I have another historical Western outlined, and also one that'll be another nonfiction outline. But the time element is always a battle. But that's what
right.
I've got going.
Right. Yeah. It seems that the series seem to really play, like you keep the characters going. I know I love to read where I can just now, what is this character up to now?
Right. And one of the really interesting things I've had as far as comments from many different people, people that I don't know and some that I do know and actually didn't know they read. Hope they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
but it's surprising that they'll key in on a particular character. They'll either really care for that character, and or they'll really hate him. And they want to see. I've had questions like, well, I hope he gets his just desserts in the next one. Or, you know, I sure hope she's taken care of in the next one. Or, you know,
yeah.
I get these little hints on where they want me to go. But
right.
I'm afraid some of them might be disappointed. But that's always interesting.
That's great. And Phil, I mean, what's going on in your world? What's new and what can your readers expect?
Well, my most recent book, Where a Good Wind Blows, I never meant for it to be any more than a standalone book. And so many readers have got caught up in the characters and the story that they keep asking what happened next. In fact, I relate a quick story here. I got an email one day from somebody and they said, what happened to Sarah? And did they get married and did they have kids? And I'm thinking, who are they talking about? I don't even know what Sarah. And it dawned on me in a minute that they're wanting to know what happened to the characters of the first book. So I'm working on a sequel. That's why I've spent the last few days in Wyoming getting some information. And it looks like there'll probably be even a third book. It'll end up being a series. I wrote a short story about a year and a half ago called Bend the Blades of Grass, and it was set in western Kansas about a Comanche Indian attack. And I have since been told, and several people have read it and said it needs to be a novel, so I'm going to expand it and make it into a novel. And I'm working on another one set in eastern and central Montana, and during the era of Charles Russell and the like. So I've got several things in the works, and I'm excited about all of them.
Wow, and we're all excited for you. You know, I can't believe, guys, we are almost out of time. Where has time gone? Candy, we're going to let you sort of wrap up tonight's show, since this is the first of the series, and we have some listeners that may have just picked us up in the middle of the podcast here in the future. Could you sort of give us some final comments on the WWA and why, other than watching our debate every Thursday, you should be right here for the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you again, Earl, for allowing Monty and Phil and I to kick this off on this Western Writers series this month.
Yes, it's been fun.
I wrote down a few notes here I'm going to hold against Monty and Phil next time I see them. So that's always good to have that kind of ammunition in your quiver. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about Western trails and Western film. We'll be talking about songwriting, and we'll be talking about some of the new Westerns that are coming out. The one thing that you heard from Monty and Phil tonight is that, and this is a characteristic of today's writers, these guys are out on the ground. They're doing their research. They're going and they're seeing the places they're going to write about. They may put, it may be fictional when they're done, but I have no doubt in my mind that Phil's next book is going to be, at least a portion of it's going to be set in Wyoming, because he's been up there doing research. And I know Monty's been doing research in Kansas, and he's doing stuff in Nebraska. So that's a real characteristic of our membership, that they get out on the ground and they see what they're doing. So we would just invite everybody to visit our website at westernwriters.org, to get on our mobile app, which is Wild About the West. There's a link to it on our website. And consider coming to our convention next year in Cheyenne, Wyoming, the end of June. We'll have a lot of sessions. We're going to have a session about Owen Wister, who was like the first traditional Western writer. And so that will be a really good session that we'll have up in Cheyenne.
So terrific. And on that note, I'm going to say thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. Just Google Candy Moulton, Monty McCord, or Phil Mills Jr., and you're going to learn a lot more about them. They've got a lot of things out there on the social media site. And thanks to all of you for joining and participating in tonight's show. You betcha. I hope you will join us again next Thursday night for the second episode of this year's 4-part series with the Western Writers of America. Remember, listeners, go to our broadcast page at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife and click that blue follow button and let us know that you support this weekly broadcast. We'll be back with you again next Thursday night for Western Writers of America.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again at the same time next Thursday.